Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we are talking about Season 5, Episode 3, A Life Spent. Guys, we are about to have a great time on this week's episode. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Guys, it's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but in space. But they're not just in space. They're in the future. What?
Yeah, you actually just lost me on space. So now that you've added the future to, future part, I'm actually
very
lost. It's
a hat on a hat. We could have just gone to space and been fine.
But no, no. You know what's better than space? Future space.
What?
That's way better.
Not future space.
Future space.
You need
Megan.
To rein it in, Turon.
I can't.
Future
I
space
can't.
Is way too out there.
I'm like Sonara's balls.
I don't even get the analogy, but
No. Let's see where are you going with this.
I mean, I just wanted to say Sonara's balls. It's like at any point I could have said anything, but
it's not dirty. That's what she has.
In that you're deadly if someone crosses you? Is that kind of what you were going for?
No, but he's the balls. Somebody else
I'm literally the balls.
Him.
I'm Sonara's balls. But I have to specifically be Sonara's balls.
All right. Let's not waste any more time.
I really hope somebody who hasn't watched either of these week's episodes just tuned in and heard that with no context.
Not allowed. Is it sayonara to Sonara's balls?
I think
I'll allow it.
We're going to have to talk about that a little bit more because your feelings on Sonara has changed. But guys, hello, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of our after show. Tonight we are talking about A Life Spent. Let's not waste any time, any more time anyway. Let me introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Turon.
It's usually just Klein, but today it's I Am Turon, literally at I Am Turon all across social atmosphere and in future space.
that last part is super important. And to his left, Zach Wilson.
Whatever space and time you're in, whichever multiverse, you can find me at that Zach Wilson. TheZachWilson.
As Turon mentioned, unfortunately, Jesse Klein can't be here today. He's a little under the weather. So be sure to tweet him your well wishes at JessKlein1. I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me directly at the Menguin. That's TheMenguin. Zach has got you guys covered on the live chat, and we are also going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTVMarvel. And you guys, anytime you have any thoughts on the Marvel Cinematic Universe as a whole, you can also tweet the whole team at ABTVMarvel.
Well, some of you shouldn't be tweeting anything at all. You know who you are.
You know who you,
you know
are.
Who you are.
You
don't have that many
there.
Equal signs between the 8 and the D. You know who you are.
All right, moving
you
on.
You are going to get us into trouble one of these days. Anyway, guys, we were talking last week about how the show feels like it has steered away from the direction of being a spy show. And I feel like this episode sort of got back to the spy stuff a little bit, but only in the sense, and we had a few people tweeting at us as well, only in the sense that it was emphasizing how the trip through time seemed to rob everyone of their ability to be spies. I feel like the only person who gets spy MVP this episode is Yo-Yo by simply being a virtue of she's the only one acting like a spy. Everyone else is kind of really bad at it right
now. Yeah, Yo-Yo pulled off some great spy moves.
She's
like using
fantastic.
Your powers. That was awesome. Everyone else, terrible spies.
I actually think the best spy in the show is going to end up being Deke. Yeah, I said it.
Oh,
I think I know where you're going with that, and I agree.
He's playing the long game, guys.
Yeah, the long game.
Long game.
Yes.
The long con.
It's Sawyer style. Yeah, the long con. Yep.
But he's also, I think, somehow he's going to be the one that redeems himself.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about Quake and Deke's sort of side of the story this time around, because we do kind of get this idea of the long con and where we're left at the end of this episode with him and Daisy. It could go either way. He could have, you know, just betrayed her and that's all it is because he cares about his own survival, or he's doing this to her benefit so that they together can play this as a long con.
I mean, as Darth Porg on Twitter said...
That's a great name.
I gotta give credit to them. He got her right next to Gemma, like way closer to Gemma without putting all of the station's humans...
All of humanity?
Like, in the line of fire.
Yep.
And that's something that we have to realize, like, if you heard the story of the hunter and the lion from the lion's point of view, the hunter is going to be the bad guy. At every turn, the agents do things that jeopardize a lot of people. And they don't, and it's because of a certain amount of privilege. It's like they're not understanding how the world works here. And even though they want to rectify and correct a situation, they're coming into it with a very little bit of knowledge. And these people have been living there their whole lives. So not only are they acclimated to the system that exists, but they know the consequences of the actions that the agents are taking.
Yeah. And I feel like, at least as far as Daisy goes, this sort of bullheaded, like, I'm just very stubborn, like, I'm just going to do this. It's very in line with what we've seen with her for the last few seasons. Like, when she has her mind set to do something, nobody's going to persuade her otherwise, even when her life and health are at stake.
I love you, Daisy. I'm so sorry.
But it also isn't not... It's not her character to put so many people at risk.
That's true, but I feel like something that is with her character, and again, we saw it a lot last season, is this sort of sense of denial of, like, I'm going to bury my head in the sand and do this way because this is my way of dealing with a particular hard truth. Last season, it was because Lincoln died, and she had a really hard time dealing with that. This season, she just got a truth bomb dropped on her of, like, you destroyed the world. That's on you. And so what's her reaction to that going to be? No, I didn't. You're wrong. I'm going to go save my friends now.
And put everyone in the station at risk.
And then just plug my ears and go la, 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 la as I just get back in touch with my friends because I cannot believe what you just told me.
I actually want to make a point is that this is in stark contrast. And you asked me last week, why did I finally start calling her Daisy instead of Sky? Mm. Because Daisy showed me that stubbornness and I appreciated it. And I was like, you know what? I love Daisy now because Sky didn't used to do that. And I'll explain why. Ever since Daisy got her powers, she started taking this approach to this bullhead, just walk in. I have powers.
I can quake my way through anything.
Exactly. I can quake my way through life and don't need a plan. She started doing things without a plan, but when she was Sky, everything was calculated. Even in the first season, remember when she was calculating, trying to find her mom and doing everything? Everything was so planned out and she was so secretive. That's when she was the best spy, is when she actually was not a spy at all.
When she was just a computer hacker.
Exactly. And so what I see now is Quake is like, I can just take everyone, I can beat everyone up, and so I will. And I think that's a lesson that's going to come back and plague her.
Yeah.
And I still love you. I'm ride or die, so.
We love Daisy. We love Quake.
Yeah. No, it's just that the team's not behaving. They're not behaving to the top of their intelligence right now. Like, I don't buy that May wouldn't have said, yeah, we should kill Zev. Like, May is good. She doesn't like to kill people, but she's a top-level spy.
She's also killed a lot of people.
Yeah, she's not above, like, letting this, like, piece of this garbage human being, like, who's torturing people, like,
who is undoubtedly going to blow their cover.
Yeah,
like the second he's
May
able
is not he above did. This, and she didn't even say a word about it. And I don't know if that's, like, supposed to be her, like, evolving, but we're not playing it that way. She's just, there's none of them on board, and I know it worked out. But I kind of
it only,
like,
worked out because Yo-Yo did the thing that May would have normally done.
Sure.
And acted like a spy.
I also see this as being maybe a reaction to being in the framework. And I'll tell you why.
When it wasn't real, it
didn't have a consequence. So actually, this new world that they're in that came right off the framework, they never had a chance. This could be some form of their mental PTSD where they just... Because I see them and they're not taking this as seriously as they should. They're just like, let's just do this and get home. Like, they're not really going... Oh my gosh, what's going on? They're more like playing around. They're more joking because maybe nothing seems real.
That's fair. That's a good point. And Carlo in the chat, remember the framework is still part of who they are. And it's easy to forget that because that season feels like it was.
Yeah, the framework, they still have those memories.
They lived an entire life.
And now they're just like, they're also those people. So they're not the agents that we're acclimated and used to.
That's a good
point. That's fair. That's fair.
Bring, you know,
well, Jesse wasn't here, so I had to make a scientific point. You know?
You have to bring some sort of scientific evidence into it. Speaking of, we actually do get a multiverse straight up term dropped. Like, for those of you unfamiliar with quantum physics in the audience, multiverse theory is a thing I'm going to explain to you now. So that's that was something that was dropped within the episode. Do we think that that's where we're going with this in terms of time travel rules?
I thought you were going to explain multiverse.
No.
Oh, okay. In case
they
you don't know.
In the episode.
If you don't know what multiverse is, it's like Sonara's balls and then.
Okay, yes.
It's
no.
Just like Sonara's balls.
But there's an infinite amount of Sonara's balls, and they're all identical. And if you jump from one of Sonara's balls to the other, there might be slight differences.
And every time she makes a choice in terms of which ball to fondle, there's another universe, or there's another set of balls that didn't get fondled.
Exactly.
So we may or may not be in our main universe ball at this point, which is, by the way, is number 199,999 in the multiverse.
You guys complete me.
I thought we were on ball number 616, but no, that's the rock in the episode.
That's which is a great little super over nod. And nobody else reacted to the fact that, like, their main starship or their main airship for years, like the bus was code number 616, and they're like, that doesn't seem relevant. I'm not even going to mention it.
Unimportant.
Yeah, no, it was a nice little nod to the comic universe, which is universe number 616.
But yeah, basically, long story short, multiverse theory is, I guess the simplest explanation is every time you as a person make a choice, a new universe is created where you make the opposite choice. That's one good way.
We explained it very well, I think, with Sonara's balls. I just want to let you.
Basically,
your inferior explanation doesn't.
You're right.
It doesn't supersede.
There are infinite universes out there, and multiverse theory is often used to explain time travel, where instead of going to the future, you've actually just hopped over to another universe. So that's
which still could be the case in this situation. We don't know.
To answer your question
of whether I think that this is another universe or not, I think we're going to wind up jumping back to our own time and space, wherever that happens to be, and it's going to just be ambiguous. They're going to not answer. They're going to be like, maybe it was another universe, or maybe it was the future. There's only one way to know. We keep going forward and hope you don't break the
I feel like having this be multiverse theory is a really good way of avoiding time paradoxes, because that's something where if we are acting as if time is linear and there's only one universe, then there's a decent chance of doing something that creates a time paradox, which would break the universe, and that's not good.
Sure, because we experience time as linear, but time itself is not. So that's much more like Sonara's balls.
Science.
I just want to let you all know. And so what we do see is that with Zev on the ship, they decided that because of the agent's code, and they are not going to go, especially Mac was so adamant about it. This isn't how we work, even though Mac has beat up more people than any other human being on the face of the planet at this point.
To play devil's advocate, Mac has always been the conscience of the team.
Sure.
Whenever they want to maybe cross that line or, you know, act like spies, usually Mac's the one there to go, guys, this is not the best way to do things. But I'm going to take the moral high ground.
He wasn't the moral high ground when they needed a scapegoat when they were in trouble, and he just watched them let this guy go, by the way, to his death, which they could have given him a very nice, easy, humane death on board, but now he's going to get eaten by these, what are they called, Vrixillians?
Roaches is what they colloquially call them. Sorry, guys, I have no idea why I can't talk today. But yeah, did anybody ever see the movie Pitch Black?
Yes.
Like, in that one scene where they all just, like, swarm on that guy.
Oh, I thought it was the one where everyone was in high school and they sang. Never mind.
That's Pitch Perfect.
Whatever. Same movie.
In space.
Pitch Black is great with Vin Diesel.
Yes, that's the one. I was very much reminded of a scene in Pitch Black at the very end of this episode where this guy just gets swarmed by roaches. And I feel like that's... And supposedly he's on the surface of the Earth when that happens, too. Everybody who goes to Earth is basically just sent there to die.
That feels like a lot of, like, wasted effort. Like, you could just space him.
Yeah, you could literally just launch them out of an exhaust port or something. I don't know. Space is a vacuum. There's so much room to kill people. It's so easy. Why?
We're really murder hungry this week on the show.
A little bit. But to your point, letting this guy take the fall, if you noticed, he was looking at Yo-Yo like, wow, I can't believe you did that.
Yeah, that look was not like saying, hey, why are we sending this guy to his death? Like, he's giving a look.
Which is so funny because, like, he started off this episode actually in good running to be this week's spy MVP because he actually did a recon bit. Totally failed at it later.
Well, that one was successful. It was just that, like, then... Daisy just like charging through walls. Because
first of all, how does she even get up into the little crevice in the elevator?
She can quake herself up.
Yeah, I imagine she quaked up.
Yeah.
Okay, so we imagine that she quaked up. Sure. And then she secretly wanted to slide down. Secretly, she wanted to fight these guys. I really want to beat those guys up right now. And we saw a very determined and a very adequate fighting Daisy, who reminded me of May. Her fighting was
She
fought before, but this was the best because the Kree, aren't they super strong?
Yeah, and
super agile.
I had kind of forgotten that up until one of them punched her and she flew like 15
and
feet.
And
I was like, oh yeah, the Kree are super strong. I forgot about that. But yeah. I enjoyed the fight sequence, especially when she's running up and along the wall. I always have fun with that. But yeah, the second her cover gets blown, there's absolutely no attempt to like go Metal Gear Solid with it. In that, like, you just hide the two of them.
So casually, she's like, guess gotta beat your asses.
Hide the two of them, and then like I don't know, continue to stealth your way to your objective. Nah, the second her cover was blown, she's like, cool, I guess I don't have to be sneaky anymore. It just starts blasting through. So on the one hand, yeah, you can definitely see why in either scenario, whether he's betraying her or not, why Deke would be like, you know what, I'm just going to go and blow her cover before she kills more people.
And that's because he specifically said, hey, when you do what you're going to do, they're not going to just capture you and take it out on you. They're going to take it out on all of us. And we saw the last episode what they did over a very minor infraction. So what would they do over a major infraction? They literally had 3 people killed just because he didn't like the way something was running. Like, he just didn't like, technically didn't like someone's attitude. So what would this lead to? We don't know the consequences. And I actually feel this exact same thing happens when travelers go to different countries, especially when I find, like, sometimes American travelers go to Eastern countries that they don't fully understand and don't like the customs or the ways, and they'll just be like, what, that's not right. But that's not how it works here. And I'm not saying one way's right or not. I'm just saying that one way exists, and we have to be, at least we have to understand.
Yep.
Or at least if we don't accept it.
At least try to understand.
Sure.
Like, I get, like, if it's like the culture is going to get you killed, then maybe you fight back against it. But, like, play the game. Especially if you're spies.
Being able to blend in should be something that you're all accustomed to.
Imagine the CIA right now in the Middle East, like, well, you know what? Not only does she not cover, but I don't understand what's going on here. What?
Also,
go back to your countries.
I refuse to speak your language.
Learn English.
Let me just keep yelling at you in mine.
So it's just like one of those things where they're spies. They have an objective. And their objective, by the way, it's not just a personal objective to get home, because that would be, I understand. It's to save the world that was destroyed possibly by Quake and get home. That is why I'm a little frustrated with their actions.
I feel like what you guys brought up in terms of like the kind of fatigue with the framework.
Yes.
Because again, it's been back-to-back adventures with these guys. I feel like that really is taking a toll on them as characters, because May says it in this episode. She's like, I'm happy to help, but I really just want to go home. I want to spend one night in my own bed because it's been a lifetime for her.
It has.
Yeah, they've been non-stop for like 3 seasons worth of time, just every moment getting their asses handed to them. either whether digitally in the wrong time and space.
By aliens, by friends.
These guys are only getting a few minutes at a time to satisfy our Coulson Mayship stuff. Like, only a few minutes was dedicated to this episode.
There were some real Falinda moments this week.
Are we calling it Falinda?
Yeah, that's the
I feel like there's
name.
A better ship
Bye,
name.
Falinda. Okay.
I feel like there's a better ship name, but yeah, I feel like that's good shorthand for now. If anybody knows a better ship name,
I don't think
Falinda.
There's a better one at all. In
you
fact,
think that's
I
the
might
best
start calling
ship
my
name?
Relationships Falindas. I mean, it's amazing.
You're going to confuse a lot of people.
Let them eat cake.
Who's Linda?
No, not Linda. Falinda. Yeah, that's what we are right now.
That's what it is.
We're Falinda now.
And I'm going to be like, you don't mind if I call you Daisy, right? I'm just going to jump in stuff. It's gonna
I
be
mind a lot.
It's going to happen. And what I do think is very interesting is the point that May makes about wanting to just go home because she's been hit the hardest. Mm-hmm. Remember, she was the one who was abducted first and everything. She's been through the most. And when I watch things like this, I realize I'm not a hero. I would have just died. I would have died like the first episode. Like, I would have just been like, you know what? Kill me, bro. This looks so difficult.
I'm tapping out.
I'm just totally over this.
I do. Yeah, I appreciate this moment that we get with Coulson and May. Just it's nice for them as characters because they've always had good chemistry. It's nice for them as characters to kind of reflect on like, this is crazy and we're tired and we just want to go home. And they kept being like, they were passing ships in the night last season in terms of like all the shipping stuff. So it would be really nice if they could just go and enjoy that glass of scotch together. just for like 10 minutes, that would be super.
That's the part of what's frustrating about these first few episodes is that we got through all of last season. All those crazy adventures. The team didn't get a respite, which would be fine, except that I still don't know why we're here. We have zero information to go on as to why we're in the future, and I don't know why I care about the future either.
Especially if this is another universe and we end up just going back to our own. It's hard to get invested in a world that's not our own.
Well, here's the problem is, what are the consequences? Like, there's no way that this team doesn't get back to our own time and universe before, like, at some point. And at that time, why am I going to care about any of this society? Because we're just going to go fix it. So, it's just a setup that's... I need a real consequence, because I don't buy the Quake destroying the Earth thing, really. Mm-hmm. They haven't shown me that enough to get invested in that story. So I need something. I need something to connect to, besides like these random like knockoff X-Men characters that we keep getting shown.
We'll get to that for sure. I think that, in terms of our level of investment, the reason to care is the cost for getting home. Like, they've been thrown out of, you know, their own time, and in order to get back, you have to sacrifice something. And I think
why do they need to get home? They actually don't have lives, if you really think about it. Everything they need is right there. Mac has Yo-Yo.
They were framed for murdering Mace.
Yeah, and Daisy has no ward. What's the point of going? They could run future Earth.
Like, she's got Robbie waiting for her when she gets back. Excuse you.
We aren't even counting that. Let's not.
You saw that little head nod. Anywho, do we have any other thoughts on sort of the failed spying attempts? And, we did need to bring up, they did find a transmission bouncing off of 616 from the surface of the Earth. Now, at first we thought, that's got to be Fitz, right? But by the end of the episode, it didn't sound like Fitz. So
it sounds like Fitz's agents were like, we need our boy's name in the credits. Because that's what we were also basing it on. It's like his name was showed up. And then,
yeah, I saw Ian Dick Stecker in the credits.
In the opening credits.
Excited. And then he wasn't there. Unless that was his voice.
It might have been.
If they used his voice, they would have legally had to credit him, especially because he's a regular.
Mm-hmm.
But it might just be the credits there because he's a regular.
So since
we want you back, Fitz.
So since it's coming from the surface of the Earth, maybe there is life on the surface of the Earth.
It seems like
maybe there is a Vin Diesel who's learned to survive.
Resistance. There's a resistance on the Earth, and it's maybe made up of the people that were sent there to die. Maybe it still does have a connection to Fitz. I don't know if I want Fitz back. You guys are very die hard and gung ho about Fitz. I liked old Fitz
you
so
were pro
much.
Fritz.
Framework Fritz was so cool to me. That if I see a new Ritz and you're like, help us, I'm just going to be like, oh.
You worry me, too.
I'm over you. Think Cassius is so cool? He's got, like, glitter on his eye. He's always got his, like, his eyes done. He's looking. He's like.
We just saw this episode how weak he is.
What do you mean?
This woman, I don't know where she's from. She's from, like, Xandar or wherever. But she comes in and she's just like, oh, you mean this rock in the middle of nowhere?
And he says, yeah, I've carved my life out. By the way, you see that lime and those sea marine creatures that are billions of years old and I didn't care about, so I just, like, had them encrusted into my room because I'm such a G? Yeah, I saw that scene.
She snaps at him and he claps back.
Yeah, he claps back. Thank you. Boom. Simpatico. He does.
But let's talk about this, because I actually do feel like a point we brought up last week, I think it was you, Taron, saying that maybe Cassius is out here as the result of some sort of demotion.
Yes.
Like he was exiled out here. I don't remember who said it. It might have been you. Okay.
and I said it, and from this episode, I think it might possibly have to do with a connection he has with humans, because he's the only Kree that I see that takes an interest and an attraction to human beings, which they look at as below them. So it's almost like bestiality.
I'm wondering if he's actually not a Kree, if the blue is all makeup.
Of course it's all makeup. It's a TV show, Megan. It's not...
I mean, he's getting... no,
it's not a reality show, which is also scripted. So
what? You mean he's not an alien? Your friend isn't an alien?
Well, hopefully he'll be here next week and we'll ask him what might happen with that. That's a great question to ask him, actually.
Can we officially plug that?
Well, I mean, as far as we know, I believe he'll be here next week. Like, barring, God forbid, any natural disasters, which is possible in
LA right
now. I
mean, California is on fire.
It is. Well, it's just the one picture of the one Honda Accord growing really slow and the mountains on fire. That's all everyone's ever seen. But, yes. But we are going to have Dominic Raines, hopefully, on the show next week to discuss his role as Cassius. And you can ask him that question himself. And I like him even more now than he was Cassius, because I really like Cassius.
We'll see. I really like the character. We'll see how heavy his blue makeup is.
We'll see.
Yeah, so looking at him in this episode, like the second he gets told that Abby might not be up to snuff, he freaks out. And you can definitely see it on his face a lot during the actual ceremony. Like, he's like, oh man, this is going to come back to bite me. You can definitely see that whatever sort of society he's in terms of, like, future space, you can definitely tell he is trying to, I guess, crawl his way up. He seems to be very ambitious.
Or back up. Because she did still make the journey to him. So not only did she pay him a visit, she paid him to visit, because he is this hustler who's making his way into society, but maybe back into society.
He's selling warriors. So sure. I get the sense that this woman, maybe this is like a late, like, Thor Ragnarok tie-in. Because this was like, as soon as those gates started to go up, I'm like, are you trying to redo, like, the Thor, like, Hulk battle?
Like the second Discount
the
Bane.
But we've
like,
seen
the second
that.
Discount Bane comes through the door. Abby's like, yes! He's a friend from work!
Well, we've seen this in other shows. It's not like this is the first Mortal Kombat. Yeah, I threw that in there. Mortal Kombat-esque.
I was thinking Mortal Kombat when the doors were opening.
And especially because he had this Bane / Scorpion look to him. Get over here! And then we saw that the fake Kitty Pryde did pull a finish him fatality.
Yeah, that was a fatality. Yeah. That was straight up like a Mortal Kombat. The only way it could have been worse is if she like had ripped out his heart, Kalima.
Kalima, Shukti De Kalima.
Her name is Catherine Prize.
Pradensky. But I mean, she did, and the reason we allude to this is because she did demonstrate powers very similar to Kitty Pryde on X-Men. Being able to shift through solid
material,
and
but
also become dense.
Yeah. Well, so she can control the density of her molecules, which either makes her like super, just like like nothing can touch her or make her move. So she's like the weight of a sun, I guess, basically, or she's light as nothing.
Yeah, in terms of like to the point where she can phase through physical objects. I love the idea of being able to make your fist so hard that you can punch through just about anything.
Who hurt you, Megan?
What? That's just cool.
Who hurt you? That's the power that you wish. Like, I wish I could make my fist so hard and just punch everyone's face.
You don't know me, Taran. Don't act like you know.
The thing that I found interesting is that the society they set up with her scenes is that every 18-year-old goes through Terrigenesis, and then that's their time to find out if they're inhuman or not.
I don't know if it's every 18-year-old, because she sounds like she volunteered to go to help her family. So it sounds like, and granted, I might be wrong, there it might be a like, oh, she volunteered, you know, in the same way Katniss volunteered for the Hunger Games. Like, a certain number of people have to go, because it's a numbers game. It's like, there's certain people who might, like, as she put it, aren't going to be as lucky. You know, you could be like the senator's brother from last season, where you just end up in a rock for like 2 years and no one knows what to do with you. You know, you could turn into a giant door and it's like, oh, well, I guess we can't really move you now. So it is literally a roll of the dice when you go through Terrigenesis. So you could turn into a giant hedgehog monster man with electric powers. Who knows?
Who hurt you, Megan? Who hurt you?
Or
giant hedgehog monster man?
Did you not see Lash?
here's what I thought was interesting is the fact that it created a world where I was paying attention. I was like, where are these inhumans? Where are the mutants with powers? And now we see that there is a collective of them. They're all just fighting in this big arena game. And that might come to play because now the agents have an army.
Yeah. It's also a good way for Cassius to keep control of this colony.
Brilliant,
so to
Cassius.
Speak. Because, like, you have a threat when you have a bunch of superpowered humans running all around. By testing everybody when they become 18 and figuring out which ones do have powers and which ones don't, you keep the ones with powers with you, and then you sell the ones that do, or, you know, get them killed in the ceremony. You know, you kill off the weak ones, sell the ones that could potentially be a problem if you kept them on that station. It's a good way of keeping the society as a whole
scary
complacent.
Now, huh?
Well, and you also for the weaker ones that don't end up performing, you know, you kill their families.
Okay,
and
Megan
then,
Castro, calm
just,
down,
that's
buddy.
That's what he's doing.
Megan, Saddam Megan Sane over here is just...
That's what he's doing, though. He's killing their families. And so it's like, okay, we're weeding out the inhuman gene pool that way.
I didn't even think about the fact that if he takes out their families, that does, like, strengthen the amount of inhumans.
You know who did?
Megan.
What?
Megan El Chung over here just came up with a plan. And I have to say, I actually like you so much more right now, Megan. Like, so much more.
Again, I worry about you a little bit.
Really worry about me? You're the one who thought of this mastermind plan to weed out all the inhumans.
It's murder, Megan.
Machiavellian Megan, thank you very much.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to go with.
It all does add up to something I think we can see what's coming soon, though, because it's all 18-year-olds, right? And then we were very briefly introduced to this young kid, Flint, who is a comic book character, or at least like there's a character named Flint who isn't Inhuman who looks exactly like that kid. So I find it very unlikely that it's not a version of that character.
And you brought up that his power is controlling rocks, which on a colony where they do nothing but mine rocks.
It's sort of like Earth romancy. Like, is the best way I can describe his powers. Like,
he's
like,
an earthbender.
Yes,
there we go.
That's
Earth
literally
necromancer.
What I was. Yeah, you stole my reference, Megan.
I'm sorry. You said that was the best reference you could make, so I just made the logical one.
The better reference, which you were leading to.
He's
just stole your punchline.
I'm sorry, Zach. Yeah. I'll never do it again.
But that's sort of what he can do. So if he goes through, I assume we're going to see him go through whatever this society's Terrigenesis. This like Logan's Run style, like weird calling or whatever they're gonna call it, the Genesis, like the rebirth. They're gonna call it some weird sci-fi thing.
They do like their weird names for everything, like renewals and things like that. I could definitely see them labeling it that as that for sure.
Well, if you ever went through Terrigenesis, what would you want your powers to be coming out on the other side? Zach probably already has.
What would I want my Inhuman powers to be?
I feel like we've had this conversation before, sure.
Probably like 8 times.
I know it's cliche. I want to fly. That would be so cool.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
Fly or teleport, because, I mean, if I had the ability to teleport, then I wouldn't need to buy an airplane ticket to anywhere.
Got it.
I mean, space-time manipulation, go for the jugular there.
Great. See, I would want the power to be able to make everyone around me happy.
Aww.
I'm just kidding. I'd like godlike powers without his responsibilities. I would just...
See, I feel like Tehran, with that power, with the ability to make everybody happy, just turns into the Purple Man.
Yeah, I would just take everyone's happiness.
Wait a minute, Tehran, you're a comedian. Don't you already have that power inside you?
Remember how I said I like you so much now?
Out the window,
What's
gone.
What's the opposite of like? That's why I need Jesse here as a buffer, as a buffer and a scientific expert to explain it.
All right,
But on this world with the powers, they're obviously aware of these fights, and I believe because I saw the Kitty Pryde character smile as she was being sold, she might be getting special privileges because she's able to perform in this.
Well, she mentioned that they're successful, they move on. So I think that they've basically been told that, like, you're going to go to a great new life, in a better place.
She's going to be an ambassador and that she's going to travel the stars.
Is that what they told her?
That's what they
she's
told
gonna
her.
She's going to be an ambassador of death is what she's going to be.
So did she not make a connection that I just ripped out someone's intestines and organs and... Now they're saying I can be
now
an ambassador?
I can be an ambassador.
Yeah. Got it. I just want to make sure. But she was happy to go.
Well, at the very least, she also said that she doesn't care what happens to her. She cares about her family.
But you think they're
going to
kill her family as soon as she goes?
Because she did well, she was promised that her family would be well provided.
Oh, so you don't think they'll just lie to her? Because she'll probably never come back. She's going to go travel
the
stars.
They could very well just have been lying to her. But, you know, there's in this world, there's also very much a tit for tat. They gave Cassius an asset that he that he found to be very profitable. They should get something in return. You know, a life spent, a life earned.
What do you think Cassius got for her? Did it look like money though?
It looked like space money.
Future space, do they use currency the way we do? What's this set currency? The one that all the worlds accept? I mean, it can't be gold. There's trillions of particles of gold in
units,
asteroid belt.
I think is what Rocket referred to.
Yeah, sure. Guardians of the Galaxy, they always say units, so I think that's the universal.
It was a bunch of units.
It seemed like it was valuable metals. It was some kind of.
Because it did not look like units. That's why. Yeah. It looked like a specific item.
It could have been Kree space money that he just needs to take to the currency exchange if he wants to use it on the international space market.
It looked like ore of some kind, or like or like silver bars.
It looked like something, like, an energy source to me. I felt like it was something.
That's interesting. I didn't think of it as being like a specific object, but it could be. That could be an interesting
plot totally line. Wrote it off as space money, but you're right. It could be something very, very useful to the colony where they're at.
I think it would be just useful to Cassius and in his plight to get back to where he wants to be.
In his quest for power and glory.
It'll be interesting to see, like, because we don't even know who she was or, like, what planet she's from. Like, she could be, like, somebody was saying in the chat, like, she could be Pink Kree, which is a specific kind of Kree, but that seems like such a weird path to go down. But, like, or that she's just nondescript alien. In which case, why not give her, like, a little bit of a something?
Well, she had red eyes.
Did she?
Yeah, they had red eyes and they had sharp
Basha?
Teeth.
Basha, yeah. Basha and her hype man, I guess. Yeah, they had big, giant, like, anime red eyes. It was kind of, it was weird. But
that's because I look at women in their eyes, Zach.
Unlike, maybe I was spending my time listening to her words.
Well, I just meant not like everyone in our chat. That's all. That's all I meant, buddy. Wow. Sheesh. Okay, Romeo.
Well, speaking of women and their words, we actually, the silent assassin, Sinara, actually said something this time around. And now, here's a question. Sinara, it's hard to gauge her motivations. And here we do have Cassius ask, like, hey, were you trying to set up Gemma to fail specifically just because you think, I think she's pretty?
She's trying to hit
like,
that.
Or are you, did you honestly think it was the best option given Gemma's skill set?
Okay, first of all, my feelings on Sinara have changed.
Again?
Well,
like, since the time we started this show?
I want this to sound in the least misogynistic way as possible. But as soon as she spoke, I was kind of over. Like, once she talked, I was like, oh. And it had to do with she was like, compassion. Or like, sheesh. Like, just the way she said compassion, I was just so dismayed by her. I couldn't take her. And I really liked her last week. And then she would come by. Like, she said, like, she didn't know how to speak. And here's an interesting point, because you said you don't know if Cassius is Kree. I don't know if Sinara is Kree. I think Sinara might be the Kree imposter or something. And it's because of just the human coloring around her eyes. And that's the only reason I feel that. That and the ugly voice that she has.
I mean, they...
Her ugly...
They both could be part human. We don't know.
That'd be interesting.
If they were, part Krees?
Yeah.
Halflings.
That might be why they're so far out in this remote region. It's like, hey, go be king of the people.
Go be king of your peasants.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a great point. I hope that... is not the case, because I really like Cassius, but if that is the case, then interesting.
Well, it would also give him something to prove if he's not, you know, 100% pure Kree, because we know from Ronan that they're kind of big on that. So, yeah, it would be interesting to see. It would give him something to prove and definitely something to provide a chip on his shoulder. But as far as Sinara's motivations, I feel like we're not really going to get a full gauge on her until we get a little bit more.
I also think Sinara's going to play a part later on. She's going to surprise us. And I know that feels like a predict, but what I didn't...
Well, we're in predictions now. Well, I wanted to throw out
that Sinara, she was the one that had the idea to have Gemma work with the Kitty Pryde girl.
Abby, yeah.
And it was like, we're going to stick with Kitty Pryde.
Discount Kitty Pryde.
Kitty Pryde girl. So, yeah, discount Kitty Pryde if you want to be disrespectful. But so... It was hers, and she said because Gemma exhibits compassion that we should have her work to get her to jumpstart her powers and learn to use them quickly. So where did she get that feeling from, and why did she think that that would help in this situation?
Probably because just yelling at Abby wasn't working. A different approach. And also, you know, Gemma's a medical professional. So... if anything, I feel like either way, Sinara made the right choice, and she had nothing to lose in that scenario either. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see more from her. Any other
Definitely wouldn't lose her balls.
Any other really quick final predictions before we wrap up for the night?
Flint's going to get inhuman powers and, like, become the best space miner of all time.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I love it. Coulson and May are going to kiss. Not next episode. Season finale.
Wow, that's great. I actually think that my prediction is that next episode I'll still have no idea what's going on. So
I hope next episode Gemma and Daisy get to work together, because I hate Gemma being so isolated from
everybody.
Let's
get back to our own time, please.
Yes! And Fitz comes in and saves everybody. It'll be great. Anyway,
Fritz
guys.
Comes in and saves everybody.
That would be... Even I mean, the framework, Fritz could be making another appearance. Anyway, guys, thank you all so much for watching. Zach, where can people go if they want to keep up with you?
You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, all over social media, at ThatZachWilson.
Tehran.
I think Quake and Deke get together, and at I Am Tehran, all across the social atmosphere. Deke, save us. Come back. Don't be the F-boy everyone thinks you are.
I hope that's the case. He is playing the long con. Don't forget, please follow Jesse at JessKlein1 on Twitter and Instagram. And I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz. I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out. Be sure to also check out Season 2 of the Shadow Radio Recreation. We've got a Christmas special coming up. So that'll be a lot of fun. Thank you guys so much for watching. We will see you all next week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Sonara's balls!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.